Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And Debbie and I welcome you in the blessed name of Christ, our Savior. And we want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, the Word of God said He came to be yours, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to Luke 19 and 10. Debbie and I are happy that you tuned in, glad that you made a choice to share with us in this little radio ministry. I tell you, I say this every now and then, and it's so very true. If you weren't there listening, wouldn't do me any good to be here speaking, but I'm glad. I'm glad that we are in this together by the grace of God. I've opened my Bible to the book of Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to be looking at a few verses there, specifically verse 17. I'll start reading at verse 12 and read down through, the Lord willing, to verse 18. But before I do that, Debbie's got a song she's going to share with us. The title of it is, I Found the Answer. She's going to talk about finding the answer in the altar of prayer, but we've got to find as believers the answer in the Word of God. I'll be back to share the message in a moment.
I was searching for the meaning of life. All I had was struggles and strife. Days were long and my heart no song. Then I knelt at an altar of prayer. There I found the answer.
Tell you what, you can too, sir, ma'am, if you're looking for the meaning of life, if you're wondering why you're here, what your purpose is, look, you can find that out at an altar of prayer. Without a doubt, God will meet you there. You go there with a broken heart, broken and contrast spirit, and God, the Bible said, would no wise cast you out. But we've got answers in the Word of God, and that's what we're going to try to look at today. We're going to try to talk about some things. Listen now, friend. We're living in a day when the world is against Christianity. It's always been. Don't let me try to make you think that I've ever thought that the world would embrace Christianity. It hasn't, and it isn't. But I'm going to tell you, this nation of ours, the United States of America, has become militant against Christianity. Now, there's always been resistance because there's always been evil. There's always been a course of this world. That's what Jesus said, love not the world. He's not talking about the planet. He's not talking about this rock, the terra firma that we walk on and live on and eke our living out, what we see and what we behold as beauty. But He's talking about the world system. It's against us. They hate Christianity. They want to annihilate it. They want to do away from it. So here's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to talk about some things we must defend. Things that we must defend. The book of Philippians chapter 1, Paul uses the word defend twice actually. Once in verse 7, once in verse 17, and we'll see that. But it begins here in verse 12 and said, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all the places." Now look, if Paul hadn't told us that he was in prison when he wrote the prison epistles, we'd never know that. We'd never know it from what he said to the Philippians, what he said to Philemon, what he said to the Galatians, what he said to the Ephesians. But I'll tell you this, Paul, bless God, regardless of where he was at, used it to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said in many of the brethren, "In the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul said, now there's two classes of people that are preaching the gospel. One with sincerity and the others are not with sincerity. He said this. He said, "Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add to my affliction or my bonds. But the other of love," now watch this, "knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and will rejoice." What a man Paul was. He said, look, I don't agree with what the Judaizers are doing. I fight against them, in fact, but yet when they preach Christ, and I at least can rejoice in that. But Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. The word defense here is the word from which we get our word apologetics or apology. Now, I'm not an apologist. We've got some great apologists in our day. The greatest one that I'm familiar with and aware of is Ravi Zacharias. What a great man of God he is. What a great philosopher. What a great apologist he is. And I'm thankful for men that are able to set forth the truth in ways and means that they are. I'm just an old country preacher. I'm just an old, bless God, just an old backwoods scrapper. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand, bless God, for the gospel. I'm going to stand for the unadulterated, eternal, pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what God, that's what Paul says our Lord has called us all to stand for the defense of the gospel. We're in a mess in America. We are in a flat-out mess. I just read an article that I had my mind refreshed on. Just some time back, I got an article given to me by a woman whose father's funeral that I preached, that I conducted. And she gave me an article on the day of or the night before his funeral on six things Christians need to stop doing. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I responded to that. I preached a message on six things Christians must never stop doing. I'm telling you, friend, listen, there is a subtle attack, and yet there's a not subtle attack against Christianity. What used to be subtle, what used to be covert is now overt. What used to be done in the shadows and in secret, bless ask God by creeping in. Now they're bold. They proclaim their negativity against old-fashioned, bless God, old-fashioned Christianity. I still believe in the old past, don't you? That's what Jeremiah did. That's what God told Jeremiah to tell the children of Israel to do. Ask for the old past. But you say, preacher, what are you going to defend? Well, there are some things that we must defend. The Apostle Paul, bless God, here in prison, he said, I'm still proclaiming the gospel of the grace of God. And that's where I gotta start. You know what? We need to defend the gospel. The unadulterated, pure gospel of the grace of God. We must, friend, defend it as a good soldier. That's what Paul told Timothy to be, 2 Timothy 3:2. He said, look, endure hardness as a good soldier. Paul said in the last chapter, the last epistle that he wrote, he said, I have fought a good fight. Jude, over in the book that bears his name, this half-brother of Jesus that was converted after his resurrection, no doubt, said that we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. You say, what is that, preacher? According to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42 or 41, it says it's the apostles' doctrine. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. And I'll tell you what those apostles preached. They preached, bless God, they preached the good news. They preached salvation by grace through faith. They preached that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried. And on the third day, He came out from among the dead according to the Scriptures. Listen, the Apostle Paul and the other apostles preached the unadulterated gospel of the grace of God and declared and proclaimed that there is no other way to be saved, regardless of what modern critics say, regardless of what modern thinkers say, regardless of whatever the enemies of the unadulterated pure gospel of the grace of God has to say. Paul said, I'll tell you what, the only way to heaven is through Jesus. Peter said, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Paul said, God forbid that I glory in anything save the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Himself who said in John 14, no man can come unto the Father except by me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm going to tell you, sir, ma'am, I'm not angry at you. I'll tell you, I'm angry at the enemy. I'm angry at falsehoods. I'm angry that he's able to deceive people and allow them to embrace something that will cost them their eternal soul. But I want to proclaim, bless God, as fervently, as zealously, and as clearly and effectively as I can. Hey, there is a way to get to heaven. There is a door that you can enter through. There is, bless God, a truth. And it is Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, He is, again, the way, not a way. We're living in a world that's so crazy, it's not funny. But I'm going to tell you, we need to defend the gospel. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me explain those three things just very quickly. Paul even called it his own gospel. It's my gospel too. It's the gospel, bless God, that Jesus left us about His life, death, and burial, and resurrection. It's the gospel of God because that's where it originated. It's a divine plan. It came from heaven above. The Trinity got together knowing that man would fail and said, hey, I've got to satisfy my justice. I've got to maintain my holiness. But I want to redeem fallen mankind. And Jesus said, listen, I'll go. I'll be birthed through the womb of a virgin. I'll live sinless 33 and a half years among sinners and surrounded by sin. I'll die substitutionally on a cross of Calvary. I'll be buried, and on the third appointed morning, I'll be quickened by the Spirit of God. I'll descend to heaven. I'll take a place by the right hand of the Father, and I'll be a mediator between God and men. Hey, Jesus said, listen, we've got this. It is the gospel of God because it originated with God, and it's the gospel of the grace of God. The Bible said we're saved by grace through faith. You know what? If the devil, bless God, if the devil cannot get you to doubt the grace of God, he'll work to distort the grace of God. Listen to me, friend. Grace. Grace is a gift. Grace is something that God gives us that we do not deserve. Grace is Jesus Christ manifest. It is grace that came as a result of the love that God had for us. He gave us His only begotten Son. Grace, friend, is that marvelous thing. That's unmerited favor that none of us, bless God, can explain or describe or define to our total satisfaction. But it's something that all of us know who are saved, who's got our sins under the blood of Jesus and our names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's that very thing that causes us to rejoice as we do. Paul said, I'm set for the defense in verse 7 and the confirmation of the gospel. Paul said, listen, not only have I proclaimed it, but you see it in the change in my life. And I'm going to tell you something. If you say, because you call yourself a Christian, that you are a Christian, and there's been no change in your lifestyle, no change in your life, no change in your conduct, in your character, in your desires, in where you go and what you do, I'm going to tell you, sir, ma'am, let me be honest with you. I'm loving towards you like Jesus told that rich young ruler, yet thou lackest one thing. If you say that you've been changed and born again and there is no change, listen, you've not got what you think you have. No, we need to defend the gospel of the grace of God. Look, friend, it is salvation by grace through faith without works. You don't add anything to it. We're not to take anything away from it. We're saved by grace. We live by faith. We live by grace. We die by grace. And I know we live by faith too. The just shall live by faith. But you understand the context of this message and what I'm trying to do. We need not only to defend the gospel. We need not only to put the armor of God on us every day according to Ephesians chapter 6. Because we're in a war. Because we're in a battle. Because we're a soldier in the army of Almighty God. We're not just to take the sword of the Spirit to defend the gospel, but we're to defend the inspiration and the preservation of the Word of God. I don't know why people kick at that. Oh, there's so much ignorance about how that all these new translations came about. I just Googled this morning. I just Googled something that I found on Chick Publications' website about Westcott and Hort, these two men that are accounted the ones who have created a corrupt translation of the New Testament in Greek. The one that every other version of the Bible outside of the King James and maybe one other have been used to translate all of these versions like NIV, and I always call it the not inspired version. Oh, I'm telling you, friend, listen, if you would read the history of these two men, if you'd read what prompted them and promoted them to do that that work on producing a, quote, new, unquote, a translation of the New Testament. Oh, it's phenomenal what they decided and what they came up with and what their determination was as critics of higher criticism of the Word of God. I'm telling you, friend, listen, I believe just like Paul said it, and if you don't have a King James Bible, there's a good chance that it's not read like this in your Bible. But Paul said all Scripture. He didn't say some of it. He didn't say that you gotta figure out what is and what isn't. He said all Scripture, including Old and New Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it is God moved. Peter goes on to say, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost. Ghost. Bless God as they wrote. I'm here to tell you, God's not only able to inspire the original autographs, and none of them exist. But bless God, He's able to preserve His Word down to this day. And if He didn't, we may as well throw our hands up. We may as well lock the church doors, turn the lights out, and invest our money in something else. You say, why, preacher? If God's not able to keep His Word, and He said He was, forever, O Lord, is Thy Word settled in heaven. I'm telling you, friend, if He's not able to preserve His inspired Word, how do you think He'll keep me or you? I'm telling you, friend, I believe with all of my heart this King James Bible, this Bible that I have in front of me, that I have my hands on, that I preach from time and time again, I believe it without a shadow of doubt is the inspired, infallible, true, perfect, inerrant Word of God. Now you say, preacher, if you just study it, you'd find there are errors in it. I'll tell you why people don't like this book. Bless God, when they try to study it, it finds errors in them. But the Bible says that if you don't have a King James Bible, chances are your Bible won't say this. He said, study to shew thyself approved unto God. Bless God, when I get in this book, I feel like Paul to a degree. I get the books and the parchments. I get dictionaries and I lexicons. I get word study help. I get definition. I get men's commentary. Men that are sound in the faith, true to the Word of God. I begin to read and dig and try to study to see what these things mean and try to understand them in their historical, grammatical sense, Brent, in the origin of them. Oh, friend, look. Look, I don't know about you, but I believe there are some things we must defend. We must defend the gospel of the grace of God. We must defend the inspired preservation Word of God. We must defend dispensational truth. You know why a lot of people are confused about many things biblically? Because they don't understand the dispensational truths are in the Word of God. They don't understand that God deals with man in different ways at different periods of time for the same reason. He uses different means and different ways, but He has a purpose. People don't understand there's a difference between law and grace. People don't understand that there's a difference in the time of innocence and the time of conscience. People don't understand enough to realize that Israel is Israel, the church is the church, and God has purpose and plan and place for them. They don't understand there's a elect in the Old Testament and an elect of the New Testament. They don't understand the great truths of the Word of God, because they don't understand dispensational teaching. I'm not a hyper-dispensationalist. Bless God, you can go in the book of Hebrews and get so much preaching and teaching and spiritual food for the Christian in this day that it's not funny. I know there's a division between the Old and the New Testament. But bless God, Paul said those things were written for our admonition, for our learning, that we might have comfort through the Scripture. I'm telling you, friend, I believe this book from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, although I know little about it, far too little, but I'll tell you this. I believe there are some things we ought to contend for. I believe there are some things we ought to defend. I believe there are things, bless God, that we ought to go down fighting for. Do you hear me? I believe, thought of my heart, we ought to fight for ecclesiastical separation. You say, preacher, don't you love other Christians? Yeah, I do. Don't you love the world? Yes, I do. But I'll tell you what, you know what the Bible tells me to do? To speak the truth in love. That's what the problem is. Paul said there'd be a day, and I believe this is it, when they wouldn't endure sound doctrine. They'd heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, doctrine will divide, but it'll establish those who embrace it and seek to understand it on that rock of ages. Look, Jesus said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. He said a mother would be separated from a daughter and so forth. You probably know the Scripture better than I do. Christianity, preaching the truth of the Word of God, not according to T.K. Price, but according to thus saith the Lord. Look, friend, all you got to do is open this book. It's got a power all of its own. Look, I don't have to defend the gospel. The gospel defends itself. You don't have to defend a lie. There was a young man preaching in an older man's church. He was preaching. He said, you know what? He said, there's only one thing that a lion's afraid of. And that old preacher got to thinking. He said, man, that boy's wrong. I've never heard him say anything like that. And that young man kept preaching and said, the only thing a lion is afraid of is a bigger lion. Hey, I'm telling you something, friend. There are some things that we must defend. There's a lot of people that are compromising on so many things. It's not funny. They seem to find it easy. They don't think anything is worth. I've filled with enough integrity to fight for it, even to fight for it with their life. But I'm telling you, Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel, and I'm right with Paul. Bless God, I'm suited up, I'm standing up, I've got my sword sharpened up, I'm looking up, one day I'm going up, and until I do, by the grace of God, I'm going to stand where I stand. I'm going to proclaim what I proclaim. And I'm going to do my best for the glory of God, by the grace of God, to defend the truths of the Word of God. I'm glad you tuned in today. I hope the message was provoking and a blessing. Until the next time, my friend.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEVBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.